It's interesting because we just talked a couple of minutes ago about what was going on outside, this whole civil unrest outside the studio. Mm-hmm. The music that came from that room and how it influenced what was going on around them. You want to touch on that?
You know, another fascinating sort of part of the story is this, the time and location and context that this story was happening in, which was a lot of this was happening at the height of the civil rights struggle in the U.S., and it was happening in, you know, sort of ground zero, Alabama. And so, you know, it was a very violent and very violent time, and not a safe time. And yet, inside the studio, these guys were working together, black and white musicians, and they were working together in total harmony, total love, and for each other and respect. And you know, it's really, we talked about, you know, that the wine analogy and everything that goes into the music, and that is another one of those things that went into making up this music and the sound of this music and the specialness of this music, was that these guys were doing something that, you know, would have not never been accepted outside of the studio. But they said, screw that, you know, we're not small thinkers here. We're above that. And it's a really cool part of the story.
It's a great part of the story. It's not just the artists like Aretha, Clarence Carter, Etta James, Wilson Pickett. It's artists who went there who wanted that sound, like Paul Simon. The Freebird
Yes. Yeah, they did. And you sort of have this like migration towards the sort of the holy land of recording. And so all these artists came from this country as well as other countries to record there.
Loan Me a Dime.
Yeah, I love it.
Boz Scaggs.
I love you asking me about this. No one ever asked me about this. I love that sequence, and I love that track.
Oh, love that track. And I love just the way it sneaks up on you about 5 or 6 or 7 minutes in, and all of a sudden the percussion kicks in, and then it just goes from there.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's a fabulous track, and I find a reason to play it at least once a month.
Yes. Oh, that's so great. You love it.
So, your favorite track? You know I'd ask you that.
Oh, I can't answer that.
Oh, come on.
So many.
Give me three.
Three? Okay. That A Cut of Muscle Shoals?
Yep.
Well, I love Pressing On. I love Alicia's version of Pressing On that's in the film that's cut there. I think that's one of my favorites for sure. Love it. I love Steal Away. I love Kenny Statton, Rather Be an Old Man's Sweetheart.
Now, listen, thank you for that. But when these people inevitably leave this mortal coil, will Muscle Shoals carry on? I know the room will be there.
It will carry on. There is a bunch of young bands and musicians that are just as amazing coming up in that area. So absolutely it will.
Well, I see that it's going to be in Toronto at the Bell Lightbox, Toronto in the Film Festival, people, October 4, and then in Vancouver, October the 18th. We're just going to have to roll this out across Canada and make everybody official Muscle Shonians.
Yes, thank you for your help in spreading the word, and everyone try to see it on the big screen if you can.
Big screen and loud.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or louder.
Loud. Absolutely.
Do you have a website you want people to head for?
Yes, it's muscleshoalsmovie.com, and you can get all kinds of information about the film and what's going on.
Greg Camilleri, who is the director, producer, and has put a lot of work and time, and this is a great, it looks good on you.
Thanks so much. Well, I appreciate you having me on and the support of the film.
All right, hold on just a second. Greg Camilleri, who is the director and producer of a great documentary coming our way called Muscle Shoals.